Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to wrap up some thoughts this week about Philippians chapter 2, an amazing passage. If you didn't have a chance this week to join us, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can just listen to them on your computer, download them on whatever device you'd like. And I just want to invite also all your listeners, those who listen to Sister Ann's program, listen to my program and others, to go to our website, renewalministries.net, and download the app. I mean, these shows are on pretty early in the morning in some parts of the country, and you can listen to them. If you have the app, you can listen to them at any time, night or day. Listen to as many programs as you want, the ones you want to, the ones you want to miss, the ones you want to watch or, listen to or go back to. It's all there. It's very simple. Just go to the App Store, Renewal Ministries, put it in there, or Ave Maria app as well. Those are two handy apps to have on your phone. And help us get the word out. You know, be missionaries with us. I just want to encourage you, if you are blessed by the program, Sister Ann's program and others, just do what you can to get others to tune in. Let your excitement, let your passion, let your conviction get communicated to others and just help them do that. And let's just keep spreading the word because the word of God's living. It's active. It renews our mind. It cleanses our mind. It's absolutely crucial. I remember I've said many times in the program, Pope Benedict XVI talking about the secret to a new spiritual springtime in the church, and man, we need it, is the daily reading of the Word of God by every believer. Like, he means internalizing it, chewing on it, laying hold of it, letting it come into our hearts and minds and form us. Along the lines of what St. Paul was exhorting us in the main passage I've been reflecting on this week in Philippians chapter 2, I'm not going to go back over all of it, but he was really exhorting the brothers and sisters to have one mind, to put on the mind of Christ, as he describes it in another place. And the mind of Christ in this passage that he really wanted to emphasize was the humility of Jesus. Jesus is self-emptying love. You know, the eternally begotten Son takes on human flesh, you know, becomes one of us and becomes the servant. It washes our feet, dies on a cross in love for us. And it's the expression of obedience in which that humility is manifested, really. What does humility look like? It looks like honoring God, giving thanks to God, obeying God, being who we are as God made us to be, being grateful who God made us to be, and living in obedience to Him. In yesterday's program, I ended with the last section of the first part of chapter 2, which was a Christian hymn. At least some commentators suppose it's a beautiful hymn exalting the person of Jesus, and it's fulfilling an Old Testament principle: God resists the proud, God lifts up the lowly. God lifts up the humble, He draws near to the humble, and He distances Himself, He resists the proud and the arrogant. And so Jesus is the perfection of that value, that intention of the preaching of the people of Israel and now the preaching of the church. He's the perfection of it. He's perfect humility. And the passage again says, therefore, because Jesus humbled Himself, and again, it's a decision, not a feeling. It's a command, actually. Jesus said, humble yourself. And so it's a decision to serve others. It's a decision to direct our praise to God, to thank God for what He's given to us, to not draw attention to ourselves and put ourselves at the center of all things, but to value things according to God's order of what He values is so important, right? And it says, as a result, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And I want to take a little bit of a different turn today, right here at this point in the passage, because it's crucial for us to see, especially in this hour of the collapse of Christianity in many places in the Western world, the rising of all kinds of different Gnostic beliefs and New Age beliefs and the rest of it, confusion in the church, and even voices within the church saying, you know, there's many saviors. There's one, I remember years ago, a theology professor of mine said, you know, recommended a book written by another theologian called Jesus, the Christian God, that every grouping of people has some kind of God, some kind of deity, something that they honor, and the rest of it. And that really, everybody's heart's moving in the same direction. We just name it differently, or we choose to have a different God or something like that. And that's clearly the Catholic Church teaches that it's possible for someone who through no fault of their own doesn't know Christ, doesn't know who he is, has never come to faith in him, it's possible for somebody to enter the kingdom of God at some point by responding to the light of their conscience and that in a particular faith response to the light that they're given. So it's very clear in Lumen Gentium 16 what the unique conditions that make it possible. But the council teaches very clearly in the very next paragraph in that section of the document to say, but the reality is we know that we have to preach the gospel because most people don't follow their conscience. That because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the fallen nature that's so clearly present in our lives, it's very easy to put ourselves or be deceived by false gods or to create gods that fit our life or even to shape a Jesus, a kind of Jesus that basically salutes the choices I make for my life, as opposed to bending the knee, this beautiful humility that's part of chapter 2 here of Philippians. And it's important for us to see the Word of God makes it clear before whom and before whose name will every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that's all of reality, all three realms in the Jewish way of understanding created order, it's one name, and one person before whom every knee will bend, and that's Jesus. And no disrespect to anybody else, it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not anybody else. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And friends, it just stands to reason. I scratch my head sometimes just thinking, why people sort of just, even Catholic theologians sort of see Jesus as, yeah, he's one way, yeah. Yeah, let people find their way and let them follow their own bliss. And Jesus isn't just one way. He's the way. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. You know, Muhammad was a prophet. He was a human being. He wasn't eternally begotten from God. None of these other so-called deities or idols or whatever, or Pachamamas even, or whatever you want to say, they are not the eternal Son of God. Jesus came to manifest the kingdom. The king came to manifest the kingdom and bring salvation to the world that was made for him and was made through him and not for anybody else. Nobody literally has power to save except Jesus. Jesus is the one that was sent by the Father. He's the one that, for God so loved the world, he gave his Son. Not just an idea or a philosophy or a bunch of enlightened different people throughout history that are going to be the means of salvation. Now, in a small way, small m means, yeah, but only Jesus can save us because he alone is divine. He alone is the eternally begotten Son of God. He's the only one that took on human flesh. He's the only one that bled and died on a cross. He's the only one that became one of us and was raised from the dead and entered into the glory of God the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father. He's the only one from which the Spirit of God was poured out into the earth, and God could become for us what we've been talking about all week. We become fallen human race of people, are called to transformation, holiness, to becoming temples of the living God. We were aliens and strangers and enemies of God, and now he comes to dwell in us because of Jesus. St. Paul's telling us, at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. And this is important to know, because this is an appointment that every single human being is going to be present for. It's in your future. Count on it. And some are going to bow the knee in absolute freedom and total joy, and others are going to bow their knee as they beat their chests and say, oh my Lord, why? Why did I resist? Why did I refuse to confess? Why did I refuse to follow Jesus and to follow his teaching? And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus means what? Savior. Christ is, he is the Messiah of Israel. He's the anointed one. He's the one filled with the Spirit and the Lord. He's the Lord. It'll be so manifest in that day because all authority is his. And every other authority will tremble before him. He's the mighty one of Israel. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of all. All power and majesty and glory belong to him and to no one else. And so the Catechism of the Church is so clear about this reality of the time when Jesus will come again in judgment. Paragraph 1039 said, in the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. The last judgment will reveal even to its furthest consequences the good each person has done or failed to do during their earthly life. He's truth itself. Paragraph 1040, the last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory. Glory belongs to him. He's clothed in glory. He became one of us. He's the only one from whom the glory comes forth and the Spirit comes forth from him. And this is what humanity needs. It needs forgiveness of sins. It needs the new life of the Spirit. And it needs the power of God to come and gather us into his glory. And everybody who ultimately gets there will be able to get there because of the blood of Jesus, not because of any other philosophy or any other spiritual reality or discipline. It's only Jesus that opened the gates of heaven. It's only Jesus, the beloved eternal Son of the Father, that is inviting us to share in what belongs to him, the firstborn son, his inheritance. The psalmist says, the nations have been given to Jesus. All of creation is given to Jesus. All creation was made for Jesus. He's the only one that can bring us into a share in it. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to anybody else. The last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory. Only the Father knows the day or the hour. Only he determines the moment of its coming. Then through his Son, Jesus Christ, he will pronounce the final word on all history. We shall know the ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation and the entire economy of salvation and understand the marvelous ways by which his providence led everything toward its final end. The last judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all the injustices committed by his creatures and that God's love is stronger than death. Paragraph 1041, the message of the last judgment calls men to conversion while God is still giving them, quote, the acceptable time, the day of salvation. It's from Scripture. It's a quote from the Bible. It inspires a holy fear of God and commits them to justice in the kingdom of God. It proclaims the blessed hope of our Lord's return when he will come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed. That's a beautiful, powerful paragraph there. The last judgment is meant to sober us. The reality of the return of the Lord and what's going to happen, it's meant to wake us up, to make us alert, and to inspire a holy fear of God. This is a good thing. This is not slavish fear, that we have to tremble. Oh, he's just an angry father or something, or an angry, out of control dad. No, he's love itself. He's truth itself, and he's the creator of all things, and he's made reality in a particular way, and all who refuse it on that day and the judgment day are going to be judged because of their refusal. It's the most important day. It's the most important moment for all of us, the judgment. So it inspires a holy fear, which is a radical kind of awe and a wisdom that flows from it that says it's crazy to offend God. It's crazy to make up your own God. It's crazy to be lukewarm toward God. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing of all. 1042, at the end of time, the kingdom will come in its fullness. After the universal judgment, the righteous will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul. The universe itself will be renewed. Friends, that's our ultimate destiny. That's what we're called to live in. Friends, I hope you can, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, download our app, Renew Ministries app, and send it and tell your friends all about it. Let's get these words out to many who need it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.